Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issues, debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. When Lizzy Nay and Tay in the building,
it's what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
What is going on, everybody? It's Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know what that means. It is time for another edition of It's Real Talk Radio. We are your hosts. I'm Tay Real.
I'm Lizzy Nay.
It's your girl, Mr. Hayes.
Mr. Baby
Sarge in the building. And we got a very interesting show today. We got a few things we want to talk about. Our main topic of conversation is hoarding. And I'm excited to talk about this because of all things, shout out to Misbehave for coming up with it. I'm surprised because, like, I actually watched the show. Like, I'm surprised we never thought about this, but we never discussed this on the show. So it's going to be very interesting to get into that and see what everybody thinks about that. We also want to talk about going to the club with your girl, which Sarge is going to touch on that, going into the club with your significant other. But first, we're going to start off with the latest update with Flight 370. Is it 370 or 270?
370.
Okay, 370, yeah. That confirmation that it did crash into the ocean, and everyone is assumed or confirmed deceased. Everyone, though. It's like, what, 270 passengers?
239.
Oh, 239, yeah. And it's interesting because I thought that, like, you know, I've been trying to keep tabs on it today, but I had a bunch of other stuff going on, too. Like, I thought that like, they found, like, a piece of the plane or something, but, you know, Misbehave, along with Jay Styles, our program director, confirmed to me just a few minutes before coming on air that they didn't actually find any physical evidence. So, Misbehave, why don't you talk to us about that?
Yeah, there's basically reports were coming out that they had found wreckage from the plane in the Indian Ocean. In all reality, they did not find any wreckage. There was a pseudo press conference this morning with the Malaysian, I guess, whatever he is, dictator, whoever, the Malaysian minister, prime minister, I think, and he basically said that they have decided that the plane has went down in a remote part of the Indian Ocean near Australia, and they have used a formula to extrapolate the answers as to where this plane would have landed had it continued on. And they've never used this before, but yet they're taking it as a fact, which baffles me from the start. So they have taken it as far as to say that all of the people are confirmed dead, which they allowed the families to find out by texting them. And they said they may have found some wreckage. However, the satellites picked up some large debris in the ocean in that area. When it was actually investigated, there was nothing there to be found. And they're hoping that there's actually a cyclone that's going to be moving into that area of the Indian Ocean here in the next week or so. They're hoping to get something, in stone before then.
Yeah, I remember hearing them saying something about they got about 17 days or something to recover something. I don't know if it's the black box or
yes, the black box. The black box will stop its ping. It sends off a ping that sounds kind of like a metronome, kind of like
Yeah.
And that will stop making its noise in 17 days.
How many days has it been so far?
It's a total of 30 days, so I guess that puts us at 13 days.
March 8th is when it went out?
What's that?
It was March 8th.
March 8th, they said 13 days. So. They said it'll send off its noise, its sound, for 30 days after the crash or after the landing, I guess.
Man, that's crazy. Like, a lot of people are just, like, they are just ecstatic about it. Like, a lot of people feel like that it's a cover-up, it's a conspiracy, the plane got blown out of the sky, all types of accusations. Ms. Nizzy Nay, what do you think?
I don't know.
What? Okay, Sarge, Nizzy Nay is not gone.
I'm in La La Land.
The only thing I'm spoken on right now is the last words from the pilot was all right, good night. Somebody had to know what he was doing. He had to know what he was doing or something. That was the last words he had to traffic controllers. That last line from your pilot shouldn't be all right, good night, and then you come up missing for 13 days.
That's a good point. A lot of people think the pilot might have been shady.
Oh yeah.
I think that's a common term that they use when they're having a flight at night. Once they've reached their cruising altitude, I think. Just to let them know that everything is all right and good night. In other words, we'll let you know if we need anything. We're planning on cruising the night through.
But that don't make sense, though. Good night. Like, I want to make sure we'll keep in touch throughout. Like, if I need you, bam, you need me, bam. Like, we won't keep in touch with each other. This is serious business right here. If something go wrong, we don't want to come crashing out of the sky. So what's there to say good night about?
I think you mean, like,
but
good
know.
Night.
I'm not familiar with how air traffic control works. I just know this whole situation is very weird. And then they say something about the plane turned around, and like, then they say the plane did a funny pattern where it turned around and started going back the other way or something crazy like that?
The plane turned around and started going back the other way. In addition to that, it also cruised, I think normal flight altitude is in the 23, 24, 25, 36,000, somewhere around there, mid-20s. At one point, the flight did actually go up to 45,000 feet, which is basically right on the edge of having your brain explode. And it came back down, and then it went too low for a while, and then it came back, and it got back on the course where it should be. So there was a lot of sketchy flight maneuvers going on that plane before it disappeared.
This is all fake.
This is all fake. So what do you think? You're saying it's all fake. So what do you exactly think?
Yeah. Happened? Okay, y'all listen to our freaking conspiracy show. It will say a whole lot. I believe it's just like that. This is all hocus pocus, fake, fool. I don't believe in none of it.
You don't believe which part? That, like, the flight went missing, or there was an actual flight? Like, what do you...
Do you think that it was taken over by aliens?
No.
Or it went into the Bermuda Triangle and vanished?
Bermuda
and was
Triangle,
never seen
hey.
Again?
I don't believe that there was no plane that it disappeared. I don't believe none of that.
What about the family, though? You think
that's
what I'm
saying. There's 239 people missing. Families know that that was real.
Oh, yeah, the Malaysians were, hey, did you watch the news? Because they were hysterical.
They were hysterical. They were fainting, screaming at the top of their lungs.
Oh, yeah.
It was all fake.
That was ugly.
Well, this, you know what? That's how crazy this situation is, though. You got all different types of people who stand in different places as far as what they think happened. Some people really, there really are talks of UFOs, believe it or not. Like, that wasn't just sarcasm. Like, there really are talks of that. The Bermuda Triangle, the government, they said the U.S. wanted to start a war, so they shot down the plane. They have a reason to start a war, all types of stuff. Like, my whole thing is this, like, a plane is big, unless it was destroyed by, like, a missile or something. Like, if a plane hit the water, it's like, a plane is huge. The wings, like, the engine is so huge. Like, it's so noticeable. Like, you would think that it would be able to be spotted. And then, I don't know the physics of it, but, like, would a plane immediately sink if it hit the water? Would it immediately sink? Wouldn't it, like, float for a while on top of the water before it sinks? Like, it wouldn't just go straight into the ocean, right?
The probability of the plane, if it hitting the water, that it actually stays intact is pretty much zero, I think.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So
I'm thinking it would definitely break up in pieces, but the plane is still so huge that all of those people and all those, the seats, the everything, I mean, because hitting the water isn't going to make the plane actually explode. It's just going to make it break up. So, like,
well, the problem is they weren't looking in that area for so long, and now that they are looking in this area, it's been so long since the crash.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the plane, really. How you learn at flight travel school is that the fuselage, depending on if he nosedove in there or he did it like the guy who landed the plane over the 9/11. If he came in on the side and was winging, it may have floated for a while before it just capsized and went down. It's depending on how he landed it. If they went straight down like they were saying, that pretty much is going to be at the bottom of the ocean now. Maybe a wing would still be floating somewhere, but that's pretty much what they're looking for. They said the fuselage is probably going to be at the bottom of the ocean now. They're not going to find that.
Well, y'all, we're going to have to definitely keep tabs on that and, stay updated with that. It's very interesting, but not in a good way. This is a horrible interesting, but you just can't help but wonder what happened to those 239 people, or like Nizine said, if there were ever 239 people, if there was ever a flight 370. Regardless of what you think, you just got to keep tabs on it and stay up to date with it, because it's very interesting and very unfortunate at the same time. And, definitely my thoughts and condolences go out to those families and friends of the lost passengers. And with that said, we're going to pass it to Sarge.
Okay. And just like the Malaysian flight, the first topic, as far as, being in the club and DJing, you see so many fouls and stuff that you don't believe. I think it's a simple foul when you ever bring your girl to the club and you catch feelings if anybody else is going to holler out. I know misbehavior's been in that situation. She probably did not mind. So,
you know, I smacked him right down.
You probably smacked him while you're in there with him. So I can't even talk to Mr. Haig right now, because she's probably the one provoking everything and saying that it's okay if we go to the club together. It's okay. We can go. You going out, I'm going out too. What situation have you ever been in?
Miss Davis,
when was the last time you went to the club and you took your boy with you?
Well, the last time I went to the club and had somebody I was seeing with me, it was pretty much ended up the way I knew it was going to end up. Got his feelings hurt. That's it. Got his feelings hurt. I'm going to the club. I want to go with my girls. If you want to stick your nose in my business and want to tag along, you're going to get upset. So get upset. I'm going to live my life.
Okay. Hold on. So let me ask you this. What made him upset?
Guys, just simple things. Guys talking to me, wanting to buy me a drink. It wasn't like there was any kind of grinding or any of that stuff going on. Guys simply coming to me, oh, you're a nice-looking lady. I'd like to buy you a drink. Okay, buy me a drink. We chatting, we talking at the bar, laughing, talking, whatever. And then he rolled up out of nowhere, out in the corner, looking creeper style, looking through the vines, They got the lights shining on his eyes, flashing. He just looked like something out of a nightmare.
So he was the angry person coming to the club. He's the angry significant other. But that case right there, that's when you got to put it smooth. And you just got to, you take your drink. He buy your drink, and then I'm getting drunk off somebody buying your drink. You got to make that a positive.
Yeah, but he was boring. I didn't want to hang out with the dude I went with. He's boring.
What? Why are you with him?
I wasn't with him. He was like, we were talking. It wasn't like he was my boyfriend or anything. He wanted to be my boyfriend, but he wasn't my boyfriend because he was boring.
Yeah, you got those options.
Yeah, you know. I had to keep my options open.
You man perspective on that.
I don't, Ms. Behave, I just don't know how, like, someone could, I mean, you're a real cool person, but as far as, like, relationship-wise, I don't know how anybody could do it. It's like, you're just too much. I mean,
I know, my
feelings on the situation, I think it's relationship suicide. Like, I would never go to the club with my woman. Now, first of all, you got to ask yourself, what kind of club is it? Is it a 30 and over, grown and sexy club? Or, like, you know, what type of atmosphere is it? If they playing jazz music, you probably good. That's probably the type of club you can go. Like a jazz club, you can
nice
go to that type of club
setting
with your woman.
No, I'm talking about a rapper club.
You talking about hip hop, drop it like it's hot, shake it like a salt shaker? That type
city
of club with your girl? With, I mean,
the
think about the type
club
of people that type of, like, the clubs that play that type of music, the type of people that it draws. If it ain't no dress code, first of all, if it ain't no dress code, automatically, you know, it's going to be knuckleheads and foolishness up in there.
If there's no dress code, I'm not going.
Yeah, I would not. I definitely wouldn't. I would not go if there was not a dress code, like, definitely. But, I mean, to go, I just don't understand. Like, if you're going to the club with your significant other, what is the purpose? Like,
you
go to the club
home, right,
to mingle with other people. Like, so what's the, unless you're going as a group, all of y'all is a bunch of friends, and everybody's, like, on a date. So it's, like, eight people, all couples, four couples going to a nice little chill club, little lounge, little jazz club type of thing to listen to some live musicians play. Now, that sounds like that's probably a nice time, you know.
I like that.
But to go to drop it like it's hot, that type of club with your woman, why? What are you going to get out of that? You know it's going to be a bunch of guys there. They're going to be drunk. Somebody going to smack, especially if your girl got a big behind. Somebody going to smack your girl butt. If y'all separate, somebody's going to try to dance for her. People are going to offer to buy her a drink. You're going to have to be on her like white on rice the whole night.
Let's talk about what you guys be doing in the club. Let's talk about what you don't have to worry about your girl. What do your girl have to worry about?
It's always y'all.
The females are the ones that's drama, and the females are like 70% of the fights and all of the extra
because
stuff that comes up going to the club.
Like
and
Dizzy
Nate even admits that. Everybody knows the females are the most of the drama in the club.
Dizzy Nate is quiet right now because she just got out of that situation. That's why she's so quiet.
Every time that I have been to a club, it's always the females that start a fight. It's because this chick, she's rubbing against her man, which, you know, I have accidentally did that. I was drunk. I didn't know. And I'm sitting here bumping and grinding. He came up on me. So, you know, I was dropping it like it was hot. And
oh, Lord.
I was drunk. I had way too many drinks. I went way over my limit. And I was on the floor twerking it. Like, literally,
damn,
poor
girl.
See?
That's
the type stuff I'm talking about.
I was standing on the speakers, dancing, on the stage dancing. I was dancing on girls and all types of outfits.
Oh, we all do that.
But, and then I walked outside in 20-degree weather and flashed a couple of guys. Oh, my goodness.
Holy crap.
That.
See, that would have been the end. That, right there,
right
the relationship would have been over. If
over,
I see my girl going out at the club, it's a wrap.
We're talking about
going to the club with your significant other. That's what we're talking about.
I would never do that because I know that I'm reckless.
You're
going to
act a damn fool. That's why.
Yeah, I already know that. I already told my
So you're the type of female that can't drink when you're in a relationship. You can't drink unless you're around your man because you don't know how you're going to behave
when
you drink around other people.
My girls, I have went out with my girls, just girls, you know, and, you know, as long as they're with me.
I think we all know how we get when we drink. Everybody gets a little bit more open, a bit more loving, a bit more sexual, a bit more
I think a bit more
mouthy.
It stays the same. I mean,
what stays the same?
Whether I'm drunk or I'm sober, it doesn't really matter.
What stays
crazy.
The same? Oh, you're still crazy, girl. We all crazy.
Yeah.
No, we all crazy, but we get a little bit more bold. We get a little bit more confident.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, but what about with your man, though?
That's why you don't take your man.
No,
you
don't take your man. This situation, like, this is if you took your man to the club. Like, you and your man went, like, I don't even want to say you took your man to the club. Let's say he was going out, and you didn't like what he was doing, and you felt the need to go. Like, I have personally known this situation as far as a friend of mine, as far as, the, you know, his wife doesn't like him to go to a certain place. If he goes there, she's going to go, too.
And I understand that.
But at the same time, it's
clubs are nothing but trouble for people in relationships regardless.
Right.
Yeah, I think so, but as long as you ain't going to actually leave the club with somebody and cheat, like, you can, what you don't know won't hurt you. So if I know
there's
my woman going to the club, right, if I know my woman going to the club, I ain't dead. As long as I know she had her behind home by whatever time I expect her to be home, then
wait,
I can only speculate. I can only speculate. I can only speculate.
Let's rewind that.
This is
why
I
say as long
as
she has
her butt
home,
why would
you expect her to be home?
Going to the club with your girl show. And this, we're going to have to dedicate a whole show to this, apparently.
Yeah, by that time, the specified time.
You know, so what we're going to do, we're going to move on to hoarding, and we will do a show on that because they got us talking like this. This needs a whole show. So that's what we'll do. That's exactly how we're going to do it. So with that being said, Ms. Behave, passing it to you.
All right. So tonight's topic is about hoarders. For those of you who don't know what a hoarder is, it is people that obsessively and compulsively keep a lot of things in their home. And I don't mean just collecting things. I mean trash. Nasty old food, boxes upon boxes upon boxes and boxes of stuff you can't even identify, clothes that pile to the ceiling. There's a show on television I'm sure some of you have already seen called Hoarders. There's also another one called Hoarding Buried Alive.
Yeah.
And they kind of chronicle the stories of people who have problems with this. Ironically enough, hoarding is actually an offset of the disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder. When you think about people with obsessive-compulsive disorder, you think about people who are neat and clean and always want to have everything perfect. Not so in this case. Hoarders also suffer from obsessive-compulsive disorder. It's just its own offshoot in hoarding. So I wanted to know, have any of y'all ever known a hoarder, been around a hoarder?
Man, come to the house.
I know. I've seen it. I've definitely seen it. You know, maybe not as extreme as on the show, but I've seen some hoarders. And you know the most common kind of hoarding, which the show doesn't cover, but I think is the most common? Car hoarders. Most people hoarders to their own vehicle. Have you ever gotten to somebody's car, especially if you had to get in the back seat and it just like you had to like nearly sit Indian style to be able to get in the car because there's so much stuff on the floor. You don't know what you don't know. You might fall into another dimension if you put your feet down on that floor. Like that's how
is that hoarding
bizarre
or is that
car
laziness?
Is. Well, hoarding, I think it can be. I think, though I know this is a mental thing, I think that people being lazy can be the starting point of hoarding.
Yeah.
I mean, a big mess is a big mess. Call it hoarding, call it just being lazy, but it's unacceptable. And I've gotten people's vehicles, and I was like, wow, like, I don't even know what I'm putting my foot in. It's trash everywhere. Like, what is this, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I've seen that all, definitely, like, I ain't going to put nobody on blast, but people know who they are. They need to get their acts together. I've also seen people in their homes, like, a mess, too. I've seen people's homes a mess. People throw clothes. You know what? I hate when people throw clothes on the floor. As any female that I've ever dealt with, they will tell you, like, he does not. I hate that. I cannot stand. Like, what makes a person want to just, oh, okay, I'm just tired, just going to lay down, had a long day, just throw your clothes on the floor. That's where it starts at. Look, I'm going to get to it later.
Hey, I'm not a hoarder.
I'm going to get to it later.
No. The hoarders,
see,
they
think that everything they own
is a prized possession. They believe that everything that they have, they cannot live without. So
right.
The reason they have stuff piled on the floor is probably because they have nowhere else to put it at this point, rather than to pile it on the floor. And it gets to the point, as you know, where it piles up to the ceiling. I mean, I've seen episodes of Hoarders where the junk and clothes and belongings and trash have been piled all the way to the ceiling, to where there's only maybe an inch you can see through into the other room, and you're walking on about 3 feet of trash underneath you. How the fuck do people live like that?
I don't know, man. See, that's a whole nother level right there. I've seen, I would say, like, Class C hoarding as far as, like, home. It's like, you know, just being a mess all over the place. And by the way, Nizine, you might not call it hoarding, but that's just dirty then. Take your pick, dirty or hoarding, but one or the other.
No,
throw them on the floor.
Stop.
But anyway.
No, it's not. Sometimes I just be too tired, and I just throw it on the floor. I eventually pick it up.
Every woman has the hoarding.
That's called being drunk, rolling up in the house at 2 o'clock in the morning, and not giving a fuck. That's what that's called.
No, that's kind of different. If you're just drunk and you just passed out, whatever. No drunk person going to take the time to clean up. But I just don't like when people make a mess, because people make a habit of throwing stuff on the floor. Next thing you know, that's just like where they start to keep their clothes.
The only reason I don't do it anymore is because I just throw everything in the crib that I don't use.
It sounds like one of our hosts might be a hoarder.
I can't stand a whole bunch of stuff around me. I don't even like a whole bunch of people around me. Anything get all close around me, I feel like I'm just going to go apeshit.
It's definitely a different level to it.
How many shoes do you have?
I got 2 kids.
Well, how many shoes do you have?
How many what?
Shoes.
Yes, that's
hoarder
right there.
I have no earthly idea.
That's automatic hoarder.
No, that's not hoarder.
I got a problem with shoes.
All lined up and nice, and they have a place. There's a place for everything, and everything has its place, and that's where it is.
Well, Miss B.A., let me say something to you. There's a such thing as organized hoarding. You do realize that, right?
Yes, I do.
Right, so if you have hundreds of shoes, even if they're neatly stacked, that still would be a form of hoarding if you have so many that you can't even count, and they just like it just overwhelmingly amount of space in your house is dedicated to shoes.
They only fill up 3 closets, and they're all nice and stacked. Yes,
I can't fit mine in my closet. I got 15 pairs of boots, which I kind of lost a little control. You know what I mean? Then sandals, I got like 15 pairs of sandals. I got maybe a good 20 pair of sneakers, because you got to have sneakers to match every outfit, you know, and I love my J's, so I have to have a whole collection of those, and then, you know, a little flats, you know, got a couple pair of those.
I got a lot of pairs of boots and a lot of pairs of heels. That's me.
Yeah, what are the ones that you don't wear?
The tennis shoes.
Yeah, where are they at? Because that's the hoarding part right there. You got like 800
pairs of shoes. No, the tennis shoes still in there. Because, I mean,
you know,
I might try to act like I'm going to walk around the block or something one day, you know.
What about the other pairs you
don't
wear?
We need to get some hoarding specialists up on here. Talk to some of our hosts.
I am a hoarding
specialist. No, but seriously. Seriously, though, I mean, I think the worst kind of hoarding there is people that hoard trash and
yes.
old food.
Yes.
The food and trash is just unbelievable. I saw an episode of Hoarders the other day. Well, I guess it's been a few weeks ago now. And the woman had stuff in her refrigerator that had turned completely black, was you couldn't determine what it was, had a maggot coming out of it, and she wanted to see if she could save it. She wanted to salvage it.
Not to save that maggot.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
She loves that maggot. That's part of the family now.
That's nasty.
Just
no,
be honest. That's sanitary. That's dangerous. That's, you know, that's grounds to be locked up somewhere.
For real. I've seen the worst, though. Trash is nothing. So I was watching this one show, and this lady, she was holding her poop and her pee.
Oh, my God. I saw that one, girl.
What? Oh, man. I didn't see that one, but part of me is kind of glad.
They had
that's a little extra right there. Like, that's crazy.
She had 2 tons. Did she have 2 tons of her poop? In the bathroom and in the bedroom.
Yes.
What?
Yes, 2 tons, guys. 2 tons.
They said the smell was so bad that everybody had to leave because it was just as soon as they walked in, they were all getting sick and throwing up.
Here's what you gotta
do. That person needs an institution. That person needs help. That's like screw hoarding. Like,
they would just take a shit and throw it across the room in the pile.
Was that the same lady that had that rat in the house? And she was like, watch out for the rat when you go in.
What? The one that was just on recently?
Yeah, I think she had a rat in the house, too.
The Asian lady that had all the rats?
Oh, my goodness.
I seen a picture of that online, but I didn't see the actual episode.
It was an Asian lady. Had a whole bunch of rats everywhere.
It was like over 100 rats, right? It was like I seen the picture of it online. That's crazy.
And then there was this other guy
that hoarded rats. He was a rat hoarder. And he had like 400 and something rats. It had taken over his entire home to the point where he took everything out of his house. There was nothing in his house but rats. Nothing else but rats running around all over themselves.
That's
people who are all types of stuff. That stuff right there is beyond like, ugh. Oh, man.
Well, what I want to know is what do you all think is the reason that people turn to hoarding such, you know, everyday boring things or nasty things or commonplace things that's not really important? What makes it important to them enough to hoard it?
Well, it's kind of like an addiction in a way, because if you are hoarding, there's always a reason for why they started, and it starts to multiply over time. And it goes, like, some people, they may have a death in their family, and the way they deal with it is by going to the store and buying things, and just but they can't stop. It's like an addiction to them. They can't stop. It consumes them and makes them feel better. It's to just get over that death instead of just dealing with it and mourning it. They collect and buy things and it just keeps piling up. And they don't really realize that it gets out of control until they can't even walk in their freaking house. Some, they don't even live in their house. They just get, the house is so packed that they can't even sleep in there anymore. The plumbing's not working. They can't cook. They can't do nothing. I've seen some that live in their car because their house is so packed.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Do you think that they're filling a kind of void for something else in their life?
Yeah. Just like if their husband or wife died, they're trying to fill that void.
Yeah, that's very common. That's very common.
It is.
What
like
do you think,
you said,
Jay?
Nizzy, a lot of people have, like, because of what they've been through in life, they turn to hoarding as a way to escape it. I was watching an episode earlier today, and the lady became a hoarder just for that particular reason, that she had lost her husband. She had lost her husband. She really didn't know how to deal with it, but she started buying things and collecting things. And one lady said that she had been through so much in life, like she just kind of started stacking up stuff to kind of feel like she's safe. Like she didn't want anybody to enter her life, so she like, and that's all mental. Like she started stacking things towards the door, and then she just kept collecting things and kind of barricaded herself, like whereas though someone tried to come in, they can't get in because she doesn't want anyone in her personal space because of what she's been through in life. So, like, when it comes to it's different levels of it, but when it comes to actual hoarding, it is, like, it's more than just about the trash and the pile. It's a mental thing. Like, feeling like, you know, a lot of those people, they grasp to these items and these different things, plants, clothes, boxes, trash, cigarette lighters, whatever it is they do. You know, they grasp to it to feel an attachment for something. A lot of times, like a death in the family, a rough divorce, and different things people have been through in life lead to it. So it's definitely deep. It's not something you can just say, why don't you stop hoarding? Come on, clean this mess up. Because they're not thinking like the average person would think.
That's right.
That's why a lot of times you need psychologists to, like, help with hoarding problems.
I like the
This is true.
I liked on hoarding they had that lady, I can't remember her name, but the blonde haired lady that comes on there. Do you know who I'm talking about, anybody?
Yes, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
She's so good at her job. She's so sweet and she's so kind to these people, and she deals with them in a non judgmental way, which is what they've been dealt with by everyone else, is by a judgment, which who can blame people? I mean, you know, you see the conditions people are living in. You know, you're going to judge even if you don't want to. Go ahead, Char.
What pisses me off is the simple fact is some of these people, they have children in there. Like, they have their children living with them in that house. Like that.
Very sad.
Trash, pee, and everything else all over. I've seen children living in the house with dead cats. A woman liked to hoard cats. And she had dead cats and all types of species all over her house with children in there.
Yeah.
And the only way that they would clean it up is because they knew their kids was going to get taken away. That's the only reason. If you didn't threaten them, I don't think they would have done anything about it.
I mean, they knew from the start that they shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
See, what gets me is that the people, hey, when they come in there and they saying that, you know, we need to change this for your health and we're trying to help you, and people be giving that kickback. Like, I couldn't be that person. That lady is a real strong person. And to be able to come in and, you know, gently tell somebody that, you know, you're not living right, this is not healthy for you, you got to change yourself to be a better person for you and your family. Hell no, it would have been me. I'd have stepped in and been like, oh, this is funky. Oh, there ain't nothing in here. We about to tear all this shit down, and we're going to have to start all the way over because this don't make no sense right here. So, I mean, the hoarding part, I mean, I can see how you become a hoarder of some things, but you watch the show, it's like people hold on to everything. They get an attachment. Like, they make it so personal to every little object that, you know what I mean, how is a coin that much, you know, that you got you saving a whole bunch of pennies in a bucket that you're not even going to cash in. You don't want to give them up.
Right.
That's crazy.
And a lot of times the process of cleaning out the house brings up a lot of issues because they're seeing things that they saved that may have meant to something to them at one point that they haven't seen in years. Why? Because it's tied up under a bunch of other stuff. So that just reverberates them to say, hey, I want this. This is important. I like this. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, I guess I get the fact that, you know, a lot of times the reason that hoarding begins is there's been a great tragedy in someone's life where they felt they've lost something very important to them, whether it be a marriage, whether it be a family member, a friend, someone passing away, a child. But then they continue to live on, and they live on trying to fill that void with objects. And pretty soon the objects take control over everything. And like Nizine was saying, I mean, it's pathetic when you see these people that have children in their home. You would think, hey, I have a child now. I need to take care of this mess and get it under control so my child will be safe. But the addiction of hoarding outweighs the love of their child at times, and that is what is really scary to me.
It outweighs everything. Like, if you see the show, like, a lot of people end up losing marriages over that stuff, and people have their kids threatened to be taken away because, like, you know, like, if the state finds out that you have your kids in those conditions, they will take them away from you if you don't change them, and fast, and rightfully so, because you can't have your kids living in that type of condition. Like, it is, it's definitely crazy.
I mean, it's a health issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a 2-year-old toddler running around. Not only is it a health issue, but how dirty and insanitary it is. There could be animals like rats. There's also small, tiny pieces of everything known to man on the floor. I mean, that the baby's putting in its mouth. You know, there's no room for you to cook the baby a meal because the kitchen is full of trash. There's nowhere for you to give the baby a bath because the bathtub is full of clothes. There's nowhere for you to have the baby, you know, play and have it safe because everything is full of junk. And people will literally just lose their children over it and want to be upset and cry afterwards, but yet are reluctant to do anything to change that, the fact that they're hoarders.
When you let hoarding get in the way of your family and let it compromise your family, then you know you have a serious
problem.
Yeah, serious. Like, some people are on orders, like, they haven't seen their bed or their dining room table in years. Like, they just forgot what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, talk about drama. When it's time to clean up, the way these people react to it, like, when it's time to, when they bring the trucks around and the dumpsters around and start trying to, they'll agree to start throwing the stuff away. But then when they start attempting to do it, it's like, they have all these anxiety attacks and all types of stuff. Like, that stuff is real, man. They do not be trying to let that stuff go. It's like you taking away a part of them. A lot of people, when they ask them, like, well, what's wrong? Like, why you don't want to let this go? It's like, I feel like you just, I don't have control. You're just taking it away. And it's like, well, no, we're letting you decide. And it's like, you know, they be freaking out. They get real defensive. Some of them get very hostile. I seen one lady, she flipped out. She was like, fine, you want to take this stuff? Whatever, fine. And she started throwing stuff, glass and everything, just throwing it in the truck. I was like, whoa, this chick is tripping. Like, just passing out. Like, they be having episodes. Like, they be breaking down, crying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about they'll cry over something like a mouse trap with a dead mouse on it. A mouse trap with a dead mouse on it, and they're going to throw it away. And then break down and start crying. And it's like, well, it's a dead mouse thrown in the trash.
Because to them, it's like you're getting rid of all the stuff that they were holding and they were, you know, they were holding on to for so long because they were dealing with something.
That was their
and now that they got to get away, and now that they got to throw it away, they got to deal with whatever they was holding, whatever they were starting to hoarder for the reason why they were hoarding. They got to deal with that issue now. And that's why they have that blonde-headed lady come in and talk to him and calm him down, because she knows that it's a deeper issue than just things. It's all mental. It's like an addiction. People that are on drugs, they don't care about their kids or their family or nothing like that. They're going to still do it. They need help.
They call it a disease.
It is.
It's a mental disease. Like, I was tripping earlier watching Hoarders. The lady had, like, a bunch of stuff piled up all the way to her, like, I think it was the back door entrance. And when she went to go in, like, her daughters hadn't been over her house in, like, 10 years. So they was like, well, the daughter, you know, they always had the narrator talking. And the narrator's like, the daughters haven't been over there in 10 years. So when they came in there, they was like, well, how are we supposed to even get through? Like, this is crazy. And she was like, you have to do it this way. She was like, you got to step here. You got to step on that right there. Step on that log right there. Then you got to just lift yourself up. I was like, what? Like, you had to literally, it was like kind of like rock climbing. Like, literally just to get past the back door entrance, like, just to get to the next room, you had to, like, do all this acrobatic stuff. And it was just like, wow. I'm like, that's just how it be. A lot of them haven't slept in their bed in years. Like, some of them do.
Like,
this and they say
sleep
in their
like
car.
A dog on the floor. They sleep, like, on a pallet, like a dog, almost, on the floor. Just, like, this tiny area just surrounded by mountains of trash that they sleep
crazy,
on. I mean,
man. This lady had dog hair. She was like, the lady was like, I see you got a lot of dog hair laying around here. And she was just like, yeah, well, I just kind of just get by how I can. So you just kind of just one day you don't feel like it, then you just kind of just stop paying any attention. I'm like, oh, man, I hate that. That's another thing people will tell you. Like, I hate, like, animal shedding hair. Like, I hate that. Like, I hate when I go over somebody's house and I have dog hair on my clothes. Or cat hair. I hate that. You got to vacuum and sweep all the time when you have a pet. It's maintenance.
Yeah.
If you ain't going to do that, you can't. Like, even people that's not hoarders, like, need to, like, definitely take a note and, like, clean up your dog hair and your cat hairs and stuff. Your pets, when they shed, man, that's disgusting, man. Nobody wants to come over your house and get dog hair and cat hair clung to that new outfit. I'd be mad as hell, you know. But that's just how it is with hoarders, man. It just becomes second nature. Just becomes second nature to live that way.
It becomes normal. I saw an episode where a man had been cited by the city numerous times, and they were going to evict him and bulldoze his property. But this, I hate to laugh at it, but I will. This guy was probably in his 50s or 60s, a thin guy. And to get into his house, he couldn't get in the doors. So he had to scale up to the balcony of the second floor of the house and go in through the window there. And the way he did it was to just swing up on his tree.
What?
He was swinging up on his tree.
We have to note that this guy was really, really single, too.
And he looked like Mowgli from the Jungle Book. Because he had his shoes off. And he gripped his feet onto the side of the tree. And just swung himself up there like a monkey. And he got up there and he goes, see? Once he got up top, he goes, see? That's how you do it right there.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
And that had become normal for him.
Wow.
That's sad. Oh, my God, I wish y'all could see him.
You're trying to figure out, like, how did that man date anybody after that?
He didn't date anybody. He was dating the pile of trash in the corner with the rabbit sticking out of it.
At some point in time, that manly instinct going to kick in. He gonna be like, man, I'm gonna go out and get me a date, and then that date gotta come home, and he gotta swing like a Jungle Book off the tree to get in the house. He gotta tell her, you got to follow.
And was proud of himself too, all smiling with his no teeth self. Oh my God!
A lot of hoarders don't bring their dates. Like even a lot of married hoarders, like they live in separate, they stay in separate places, or they just don't bring people to their homes. Like I've seen episodes where like a couple was like married, but the hoarding caused friction in the marriage, so the other spouse went to stay at another place, and then when they trying to work it out and get back together, that hoarder goes to the other person's place. Or when they're dating, trying to meet somebody new, I've seen episodes where there might have been like a guy might have been dating a woman for like 3 years, and she's never been to his house. But now for this edition of Hoarders, they're going to bring his significant other to his home to see how he's living so he can have some type of support. And like they'd be like freaking out, like they'd be crying and they'd be hysterical. And I mean, when you're a compulsive hoarder, it's different levels to it. When you're a compulsive hoarder, you really can't bring someone to your home unless they're a hoarder too, and you both have created this together. Because like no one is going to be prepared for that. Like there's no like coming back from that. Like it's highly unlikely that someone will continue to want to date you, seeing you live like that. They're going to think they're going to look at you as an animal.
Right.
You know. I know I couldn't do it. What about y'all? Because you date someone after you
no
go
way.
To their house and see that they live just like those people on that show?
Hell no. Never in a million years. I don't care. He could be the finest looking dude that ever walked the earth. He could be sexy as shit, have a lot of money, be paid, all of that. But if he's living in that, he'll never see me again.
Okay, so what if he wasn't like that from the beginning and y'all are dating for a long period of time and it starts to happen? Do you leave
what
him
starts
or
to happen,
do you stay?
If he don't stop, hell yes, I'm leaving. I'll try to help him in every way I can. You know, if I love him and I have a relationship built up with him, yes, I'll help him every way I can. I'll get him counseling. I'll help him work on himself, all of that. But if he tries to get a date, I'm bound.
He gave you the best sex you ever had in your life.
I don't care.
Yeah, you be in there trying to help him out with his problems.
Shit, I be living with the memories, man.
You
be in there hoarding
his way. Probably wouldn't give him up. Just say, you got to come over to my house from now on. I can't do that.
You be in there hoarding too.
Well, that might be true.
That's my pile of trash.
That might be true. But you know there's no future with somebody that lives like that.
It's not. I mean, it's like, how do you have
to
build something together? Like, you want to date the whole rest of your life. You want to eventually live together and probably get married and start a family, all that good stuff.
Because
you can't even fit your pinky toe in the room. How you going to fit your stuff in there?
Look, if two crackheads can live together in perfect harmony, two hoarders can live together, too.
No, they can't because they won't be living
no,
anywhere.
No, two hoarders can live together. A hoarder and a non-hoarder can't coexist, though. Like, you can't.
There
you're,
have
you're,
been
you'll
many
basically
couples
become a hoarder yourself.
Like that.
If you support that, you're going to be think about it like this, all right? So this guy's a hoarder, right? His woman isn't. They decide to live together, and she comes and moves with him, or he moves with her, and he just leaves his whole house behind. Now that they live together, he's going to start hoarding there, too. Like, there's no escape from it. It's mental.
Exactly.
Like, just, you know, you got to overcome that mentally, psychologically, before you're healed. So regardless, like, that's not going to change. Like, you know, it's going to follow you wherever you go. It's going to affect the person. So if a non-hoarder dates marries a hoarder and just deals with it, they will become a hoarder because ignoring it is still part of the problem. You don't believe ignoring is part of the problem? Let somebody rob a bank, and you knew about it, and then you just sat there and watched, and you ain't say nothing, but you knew about it, and the police come to you, and you're like, no, I don't know nothing about it, and I don't got nothing to do with it. And they find out, you're going to jail, too, especially if somebody got hurt. Like, guilty by association is still guilty. So.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. I mean, regardless, I couldn't do it. And I'm not sitting here saying I am not the cleanest woman in the world. I'm not the neatest person out there. I get tired. I got two kids. They're messy. You think I want to constantly be up their ass picking up every little thing behind them? No, but I do most of the time. But sometimes I just say, fuck it. And I let them get messy, and I let them trash everything, and then I just take a – then at night when they go to sleep, I make a renovation.
Like,
for them. You know? Nobody – I mean, I'm not going to say nobody. I don't like to clean. I fucking hate it, to be honest with you.
I mean, everybody's a hoarder in their own way. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Everybody,
no,
everybody got
hoard.
Something they don't want to give up.
I don't hoard. I just lazy sometimes.
No, you got to be careful because there's a fine line between the two. You go and look, and you are hoarding. You got, you know,
right.
I'm going to tell you what's a common thing that people hoard a lot, and people probably don't even realize it. Bills. When you have bills from 1999 and it's 2014, you are a bill hoarder. You're a paper hoarder.
You know what I'm saying? They're trying to compare their bills.
Hey, that's smart. That's really good observation because that is
I'm not
going to
lie. I was guilty of that. I had bills from 7 years ago at one point. I had to, like, snap out of it. I think when I started watching hoarding, and then I'm like, hold up. I go and look at my drawer. Like, I can't even hardly open my drawer because it's just filled with old bills. So I made it a habit. Now, every year, at the end of every year or the beginning of the new year, I start shredding all. You have to do that. You have to adopt that mentality, because if you don't, you'll go and look, and you will have, like, bills from 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. You know what I mean?
Man,
and it can't
so
get
true.
Out of control. It definitely
can. I hoard something different, you know. I hoard underwear. Like, I got my lucky drawers. I can't give up my lucky drawers. I love them drawers, you know what I mean? They got them holes in there. I put them holes in there, you know what I mean? That's me. I love them drawers. My girl, she tried to throw away my drawers the other day. I am not having it. It's not going down. I will hoard them drawers until I die. Bury me in my holy drawers. That's what I'm
saying. That's crazy.
It's real talk over here, man. It's
so you hoard drawers. Right, everybody, if you found yourself guilty of hoarding one thing, what would you be hoarding? You say you'd be hoarding drawers.
Underwear.
What would y'all be hoarding?
Nizzy?
Damn. Clothes and shoes.
Yeah. I can relate. All right, Tay.
Probably pornos. That's the only thing I can think of. That's the only thing worth hoarding to me.
Oh,
that's the only thing worth it.
So I got the whole series of pornos and...
Not
you know,
only
it's hard to give
quarter,
up a porno.
You know,
it's like your favorite joint. You got your favorite stars on there, and it's like, oh yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's something
order.
That could be definitely hard to give up.
No pun intended. Hard to give up.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, especially you and your significant other beefing, man. Come on, man. You ain't getting me to throw away my pornos. Shoot, we might
I'm
be
glad
the gather the day. Separated tomorrow. I got to be able to get my rocks off one way or the other.
Oh,
so if it's one thing that I would avoid, it probably would be that.
So that's what you would cry. If somebody threw that away today, that would make you cry.
No, you're not going to throw it. Well, see, I can't speak with nobody else, but I got my own place. So you ain't going to come up in my house and throw away my stuff. You know what I mean? But I'm not a porno hoarder. I'm not. But if they're
right,
hey,
the
would
first
that probably
step
would
is many
you're
a problem, Tay.
You can't
right, I
no
don't
more.
Because I don't have a lot. I would like to have more, but I don't.
I used
and
to.
It's probably best that I don't.
I used to have more.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me ask y'all this.
It real.
This has nothing to do with hoarding whatsoever, but I have to ask this question. As a man, do you have to masturbate every single day?
Holy crap. Uh-oh. This is so. This is no longer a family show. You just. Go ahead and change,
I have to know
change the rating, Nizzy Nay. Rated R. Got to change the rating now.
that second dick.
I have to know this.
Nobody's
answering.
You ain't got not every day. But let's say but let's say you see something like your girl jump out, she looking good, but you know what I mean? See, my girl tend to do that mess like when she on her time of the month. Like she wanna step out like butt ass naked out the shower and be like, oh yeah, you can't do nothing at night, I'm on my time. In that time period,
oh,
you got
please.
To step out the room and you got
oh,
to go
please.
To your stairs.
Oh, please.
Like,
so,
you
really
like
you still got a mouth. That's what my dude says. He's like, well, you still got a mouth, so get to work. Like, what
yeah, well,
hell?
You need to break up with him.
That's
I say I'm
going right
you need to break the fuck up.
That would be a breakup.
I tell him.
I'm a man. Tell
him.
If
I ain't getting on, he ain't.
I wish a man would tell me that shit. I will bitch slap his ass. You got him out. Please. Anyway, back to what I said. Now, you said not every day, Tay. Keep it real. Hey, we keeping it real talk radio now.
We keeping it real. What's up? What's up?
Do you have to masturbate every single day?
Man, you know what? So back to hoarding anyway. So it's hoarding.
That means yes. But no, that's
what that being said.
Back to hoarding.
My ex-boyfriend, he masturbated at least twice a day plus had sex with me. Is that normal?
I think it's not. That's a triathlete.
Right. That's crazy, right?
Hey, he should be in the Guinness Book of Records.
Well, you know, that's that psychopath we talked about. That's that psycho I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
y'all know my psycho. Y'all
okay,
know my
so
psycho.
Okay, so
we got to do a show
on masturbation now. Okay, back to Horton.
Yes. Well, with that being said, guys, it is about break time. So I don't have enough of that talk.
Hey, you're next.
I don't want to know none of you guys how many times y'all do your thing. I don't want to know.
You're next on the list.
That's not an image in my head. That's not an image in my head. I just don't want to see that.
I just don't want no kids to be listening to this show and then hear us go from hoarding to masturbation.
Sorry. You know my mind stays in the gut.
It's kind of my fault I started it, but yeah, we gonna get back to hoarding.
Yeah, that's right. You just started
by
hoarding.
We about to go to break, but I be listening to other people's shows, and I hear how ratchet other people's shows be, and I be like, wow, I really don't want our show to get like. I mean, when we're having an adult conversation, we're having an adult conversation, but I don't want it to get too out of control. I don't want to turn it into ratchet talk radio.
Are you
saying
I'm ratchet?
I'm just saying that, like, you know, I don't want us to become ratchet. You know, I don't want us to become ratchet. As far as, like, every time we talking about something, we always got to start going to, you know, ratchet stuff, so.
No. I'm not ratchet. I'm just real. Talk radio.
That's what, hey, man, all of us real. That's the problem. We real. Sometimes we so real that we got to monitor ourselves because the realness will just take over.
Oh, God.
All right, Disney, take us out of here.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you that.
Real Talk Radio.
It's break time, everybody, on It's Real Talk Radio. Okay, we are out of here.
Oh, God.
This is one of those nights.
That's it.
We will be
back, guys. Sorry.
See y'all after break.
See y'all guys after break.
Trap. I got my trap house, I let him in and I kick him out. Bustin' flows like a pro. What the fuck that flow about? Where the fuck is my Versace? Where the fuck is my Gucci belt? I ain't going to court, I'll take you out before you sue yourself. Nickel and dime, we still getting paper. I'm in the right place, so fuck all you haters. I'm hungry as fuck, serve me a wrap, cause I overpaid that. I'm tipping the waiter. Fresh shoes, two alligators. They trill, 2 hours later I swing back. My shoes laced, first place, I never lose faith.
We got that Louis Bill, we got the flaming stitches. We got that golden chill, GT ain't got no glitches. We on that master thrill, we taking out these stitches. You know that we for real, stop being bitches.
Town like Diddy, when we come around, I'm smoking loud, large amount, in and out of town, I'm cashing out, getting money now, baddest bitch with the cutest smile, sideline, yeah, she's super wild, all them haters jocking my style, yeah, you know, I'm that child, problem child, don't care at all, I'm so wild, I'll kill y'all, money trying to stack it straight tall, you talking shit and you will fall, I'm trying to borrow one phone call, with the fucking stars, you know who we are.
We got that Louis Bill, we got them leaving stitches. We got that golden chill, GP ain't got no glitches. We on that master thrill, we taking out these stitches. You know that we for real, stop being bitches.
So malicious, kick that shit with hoes so delicious. It's just tits and ass, man, I was quick tipping up game. I ain't spitting no names, I've been vicious. This kid is straight buck wild and wild. I'm putting in an asylum, frog him. Motherfucker straight violent, tyrants trying to co-sign. I'm dying in the raw. I'ma kill a motherfucker, ducking, knuckling up and chuckling nothing to something while I'm cuffing the door. Bitches wanna get to hitting while I'm up in the club. They call me strategist, breaking out of the Vatican. Inhabiting man again, you making moves like a mannequin. I'm gravity with the planet, you can think I'm just dumb.
We got that Louis Bill, we got them leaving stitches. We got that golden chill, GP ain't got no glitches. We on that master thrill, we taking out these stitches. You know that we for real, stop being bitches.
Tribulations make us who we are. Sometimes you become impatient, especially when you know grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You just want to speed up time, speed up what you're doing and just get there.
Head for the top of the mountain. Gotta talk to God, asking for patience. Face on edge, feel like I'm falling. Time moving slow, don't know where I'm going. Times I just wanna go and hop in my ride. No navigation, don't need no guide. I wish I could fly, take a break from life. I don't know, please don't ask me why.
just wanna get away. I cannot just let it go. I cannot just let it go. I cannot just let it go. I cannot just let it go.
I'm praying for an escape, I feel my blessings late. But when I get that way, I think I'll maintain. Trying to maintain, keep a cool demeanor. My mama calling, she need a nigga. First foster parents just passed away. By the way, where the fuck is Leland? This music shit is my getaway. Everybody around me grinding. Got bad bitches repping caliber music. Everybody around me shining. Pray hard, live hard. I lose a lot of stress from a Dutch cigar. This wordplay from the soul player. Straight G shit, no soul playing. Money over bitches, but that saying's irrelevant. The weight up on my shoulders remind me of elephants. Lost souls over attitudes. Baby mama acting crazy cause her new dude. Excuse my expression, but my hands is weapon. Talk is cheap. Oscar out of jail, pray he stay up out these streets. My verses be exotic in the Dutch. Say what's on your mind, cause holding back can back you up. No apologies.
Head for the top of the mountain. Gotta talk to God, asking for patience. Face on edge, feel like I'm falling. Time moving closer, where I'm going. Times I just wanna go and hop in my ride. No navigation, don't need no guide. I wish I could fly, take a break from life. I don't know, please don't ask me why. I just wanna get away, I just wanna get away. I just wanna get away, I just wanna get away. I cannot just let it go, I cannot just let it go. I cannot just let it go, I cannot just let it go.
How can a nigga let it go? It control my future, bro. The past is what I'm talking about, and mine is unacceptable. Forgive and forget. Some actions unforgivable. If life is a bitch, this bitch is disrespectful. Though they say I got an angel, huh? Guess it be my baby, bro. I live without the angel. If you give me back my baby, bro, the stresses of my life are drama. Same man, crazy though. I just stand tall and walk straight for my 9-year-old. When the nigga in his boot, all I do is reminisce. You'll never understand my pain, cause you ain't never been through this. From Section 8, housing, I've been on top of everything. Getting indicted by the feds and just like that, lose everything. Cowards seen that storm and they touch, they tell and turned away. Never use no drugs, so these painful thoughts don't fade away. But next time problems head your way, face them shit, don't run away. Cause life, it has no getaways unless you give your life away.
Head for the top of the mountain. Gotta talk to God, asking for patience. Face on edge, feel like I'm falling. Time moving closer, where I'm going. Times I just wanna go and hop in my ride. No navigation, don't need no guide. I wish I could fly, take a break from life. I don't know, please don't ask me why. I just wanna get away, I just wanna get away. I cannot just let it go, I cannot just let it go. I cannot just let it go, I cannot just let it go.
Hey, we all human, man. Everybody goes through trials and tribulation, this thing called life. But it ain't how you fall, it's how you get back up. Wise words spoken from the kid, Black Eskimo.
You know, let's go. Not your ordinary swag. When I turn up, bottles unintended black. Watch me turn up, double pack, smoking crack. Yeah, I'm turned up. Body missing, I don't think it's gonna turn up. Pull up in that Mozzie yellow, mommy in my passenger.
yeah. We goons over high, ain't no lie. We the mafia, yeah. Smoke the blunder, kush to the face. Got me super geek, Rick James and his bang. Looking for a super freak, yeah. See you, girl, shake that ass. Make them cheeks clap. Drop it to the floor, bring it back. Then repeat that. Money ain't a thing, baby girl, you can keep that. Said her name was Vicky, but she ain't got any secrets. Catch me by the pub, showing love to the tender. While I take a shot of Remy as I'm sipping with a stripper. Woo, you know how I do. Big face bills, 100 count. Chopper outside in the ride, yeah. 100 round, never pop the molly, but she probably give a four. Send retail, she got no idea what's in store. Come and shop with your guy, bet you gon' come back for more. And if life is a beach, I'm sun bathing by the shore. No more ordinary swag when I turn up. Bottles of that Henny Black, watch me turn up. Jungle pack, smoking crack, yeah, I'm turned up. Like a carousel, smoking big O's, got me high, then a first wheel. Turn up, super gushy, she sound like you turned up. Say you smoking loud, wondering why I ain't heard much. When it come to beef, we add cheese like a burger. Hit my team in the bowl if I need a track murder. Get the crowd hype, start a fight, send a instigator yelling, get the chopper right now. Arnold Schwarzenegger, thumbs up a boss when you see him on the street. Turn up the volume when you hit a boss. See me, see money everywhere. Send trucks balling on the court, whole quarter goes on bench us. Let me mention, turn up to the max. My intention, we in the building. No admission, person of interest. Got meta pill like I came after a sentence. Turning up the club soon as I hit the interest. Like, turn up. Turn up. Turn up.
Turn up.
Ordinary swag when I turn up. Bottles of that Henny Black, watch me turn up.
Against you made jokes of your artists, wrote them hooks that fail. You ain't know what
liking this way and it's cussing because I'm a private industry, instantly like a burglary. Gunshot firing, people going for certainty. Even though you made me decision and never heard of me. Then I'm here to search me, this is state of emergency. I'm a private industry, instantly like a burglary. Gunshot firing, people going for certainty. Even though you made me decision and never heard of me. Then I'm here to search me, this is state of emergency. Back to the basics, the outcome is chaos. You're not in my lane, your process is way off. I'm locking my lane so you can take a day off. Nigga John, they can both rock for this face off. Niggas looting and shooting, SOE is a warning shot. You can hate on my grind, I love it and I won't stop. I can take you out of the picture, eliminate you out. Seven shots, accurate pop, cause it's your mic to drop. I'ma murder the bars, I'm never gonna keep it G. I spin spins when I rotate on your CD-ROM. I slap five to attack it when she read my palm. Y'all Tony Braxton writing it sad. I'm bad niggas. The scene is like Vietnam, the way it's kicking off. Wow. David Beckham, my check on my card, I'm with the guards off. Yeah. Your meal ticket play like your heart, but you know it's all. I ignite the detonated explosion and set it off. I'm a private industry, instantly like a burglary. Gunshots firing, people going for certainty. Even though you made me decision and never heard of me. Then I'm here to search me, this is state of emergency. I'm a private industry, instantly like a burglary. Gunshots firing, people going for certainty. Even though you made me decision and never heard of me. Then I'm here to search me, this is state of emergency.
Yo, stay real, good looking on the track, homie. Yeah, it's fire. It's like these bars I just laid down, you feel me? Yeah, it's too real every day. Yeah, HD every day. Hey, yo, GP, what's good? Yeah, roam the realest. Ha, warning shot to them niggas.
All right, we are back from break. Welcome back to It's Real Talk Radio. Tonight we are discussing hoarding. All of my lovely hosts, y'all back?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, back to hoarding. I like, man, you can't, in one sense, you really can't help but, like, feel sorry, like, you know, feel for these people, you know what I mean? Because it's just hard to, like, you can't really channel in, like, what it's really like to see it the way they see it. Because, like, a lot of them are, like, they really want to, they want to conquer it. They want to overcome it. But it's just not that easy. And Here's my question, all right? So there's a lot of times you can't understand if you ain't walk a mile in that person's shoes. So you look at something like hoarding, right, which people look at as like, oh, that's disgusting or whatever, but it's not like blasphemous. But then if you look at something like, let's say, a pedophile, right? I know it's two totally different things, but I'm just saying. They're saying the same thing. I can't help it. I have a mental disease too. Do you guys buy that? Do you think that, like, you know, regardless of what, you can have a mental disease, regardless of what it is, it's something that can't be helped? Like, there's something that's just in you that, like, you want to fight, but it's just that, it's just really hard?
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, but it could go either way. You know, I know they can't help it to a certain extent, but I wouldn't equate it with something like someone that is a pedophile, which is a extreme irrational urge that you cannot stop, I guess. I don't know, but I guess. Whereas I think hoarding, like you said, kind of starts from a place of loneliness or a place of laziness even. It doesn't come on as, like, a strong urge like pedophilia does. I think pedophilia, like, you kind of always know you're a pedophile. Hoarding can just come out of the blue from the cleanest, neatest person you know, 1 year when they're 57. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I look at stages as far as you got major cases of hoarding, and you got, you know, minor cases. It's just like, you know, being a pedophile and being like maybe a common thief or something. You know, you steal candy at the store. It ain't because you ain't have money to pay for it. It's just that, you know, it's free. When it's the same aspect. You look at it like, why do it? But sometimes you have that urge where you just can't help it.
It's like a lot of people get that adrenaline rush. It's just like it's a rush. Like Sarge made a good point as far as like stealing. A lot of people, like, they got the money. Like, you know, there's celebrities that have been caught in stores stealing as like rich and wealthy. Yep. And, you know, like, it's just that urge, like that rush. Like, a lot of people, a lot of times, that's what, like, these mental obstacles, that's how they make people behave, you know. So in comparing a pedophile to a hoarder, it's just saying, like, do people really buy into it? Do people really buy into the fact that a person has a mental disorder, that they, like, most people think you're either mentally out of it, like you're incompetent, like you just can't function, or you function 100% right. Like, most people don't think it's an in-between place. Like, you can have a civilized conversation, but at the same time you have this mental disorder that doesn't really affect, like, your integrity, but it might affect you in a different way, like, for instance, a hoarder. And I'm one of those people that maybe some years back I would have said, man, if you can sit here and have an intellectual conversation, then you should be able to live a life where you don't have no type of issues, no mental issues. You either got it or you don't. The light bulb is either on or it's off. You know, but as I've grown older and matured, I learned that life is not that simple. And if it was, then we would all be A-okay. So I personally do think that there are obstacles that people are fighting hard to overcome. People are battling demons. And people are just, you know, working hard every day to try to better themselves, at least some people. And some people smother themselves in their own guilt. And it's a lot harder for someone that's smothering themselves in guilt to overcome obstacles in life. But I can only credit someone for giving it an effort. Nizzy Nay?
Well,
whenever
I agree.
It get quiet, I can just go to Nizzy Nay. Oh, that's automatic. Automatically.
Why? I might just be listening, you know.
Right,
and
but
I have nothing
we want
to
hear
say.
What you got
so
to
if
say.
If I have something to say, then I would just say it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
God's
kidding.
Sometimes I
hear what you're saying, though. I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, a lot of the times the things as far as for people that are hoarding, it comes from deep within, and it's something usually that's been a tragic event that has set off this downward spiral that they find themselves in. You know, a lot of times, let's say the woman's husband has passed. Well, she wants to start saving everything that had anything at all to do with her husband, whether it be her husband's glasses or a book her husband read 17 years ago, to a napkin he touched before he died. I mean, anything. And they let that stuff build up. But ironically, the things that are the most important that they saved to remember her husband, what she saved, it was the most important, the things like their wedding album and their, mm-hmm. You know, their child's first birthday pictures and things like that, are the ones that get ruined because it's underneath just piles and piles of nothing and junk. And so the things that are really important are end up being things that are the damage the most.
You know, I mean, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt that it's not in, you know, vain that they're keeping everything or
you know, how I look at it is be like, man, they just greedy. You just want to keep everything because you don't want nobody else to have nothing. Or you just want to say you got everything that you always had so you can just, to me, as far as just get rid of it. Like, everybody in their family has somebody that they know is a hoarder. They might not be one of those rats in your closet, you know, running around the house as a pet type of hoarders, but, you know, everybody in their family has a hoarder.
Yeah. My stuff.
I've seen
one lady, she lost a son and was a little, I think he was really little at the time, and she collected everything from his toys to his clothes to everything. She just could not let go of that one child that, you know, she lost. But what I don't understand is that, what does poop and pee do? Like, why do they collect that kind of stuff? Like,
she had to bring it to ratchetness again.
Yes, we'll come back.
I don't understand that part of it. Like, what does that do for them?
I think the reason they do that is because their house is so in disrepair that they don't have any running water any longer. And so they do that, and they just put it away in the corner to try to hide it. And then before you know it, the corner has become the whole room. It's known as the shit room.
Well, they all turned into it. They went from hoarding the cheapskates, and they feel like, you know, rather than flush, I can just keep it in a corner, and I ain't got to use my water.
Exactly.
That's
some of them
crazy.
Really think like that. Some of them say, like, I seen one episode where, well, actually a few episodes where it's like the toilet doesn't run anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it got some type of problem, and so rather than getting it fixed, they just started going in trash cans or...
Yeah.
Trash cans, trash bags, whatever.
And,
whatever
and
they find
hard.
Suitable.
Sarge, you said that they're doing that to save water?
Yeah.
So they're going green? They're not going green. They're going brown.
Is that peach skate?
Sorry. I don't know why. I'm just so giddy tonight. I don't get it.
I was wondering, Miss Behavior, you sipping on something? You sipping on some wine or something over there?
I told you I was.
I know you said you had a beer. I thought that was, like, before the show, like, pre-show.
It was to start with.
Well, I'm about to say, it sounds like it's just kicking in. Like, we come back from breaking, you sound like you just took a pint to the head.
No. It was before break. I haven't done anything on break. Just having some fun, guys. Real talking with my buddies.
It ain't nothing wrong with it. We've had hosts on other shows under our movement that, like, hosts that would, like, actually drink on the show, and they'd be like, yeah, well, you know, it's time to get the show started. Go ahead and crack this liquor real quick. Like, you know, we've had people do that. Like, some people got to get in the whatever they feel they need to do to get in the character. Some people feel like they
wasn't
just,
I drunk on one of the shows before?
No, you were high. You were high. You were high.
Now, see,
that's
I can't
was.
Do the show.
She kept forgetting everything that I, like, every, like, it was, like, the most frustrating show I ever been on. Like, she kept forgetting everything, and she kept laughing at stuff that wasn't funny. And I was just sitting there, you know, I don't smoke, so I'm just sitting there sober and frustrated. You know, mind you, she's the only other host on there besides me at the time. So it was like, I'm sitting here having a conversation. It sounded like trying to have someone with a conversation that popped. Like three mollies.
Oh, God.
And then trying to have a conversation with him. Like, she couldn't. It was like, I'm like, yo, you can't handle it. Like, you shouldn't smoke. You can't handle it. Like, you know how on movies they have somebody smoke weed and they over exaggerate it? And you're like, man, people don't be that, be tripping like that off of no weed. She
yeah,
was like
nobody
that. Like, she had PCP or something.
Ain't nobody that high. No. He was one of those people.
Oh, my goodness.
For real.
Say it ain't so, Nizzy Nay.
Nah.
I'll tell you y'all, man. I wouldn't even say, like, let Nizzy Nay do it, because if she does it, I'll engineer, but I won't be on. It'll be y'all three talking. I won't talk on that show. I'm not doing that.
He refuses to talk to me.
She already knows. The first question I'll ask her is she hot? And if I have reason, regardless of our answer, if I have reason to believe that she's high, no, it's not happening. Like, I'll talk to you later, Nizine.
Longest. But, guys, we have a caller that wants to speak with us. Caller 443, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Mr. Dano.
Mr. Dano from NFL Weekly Wrap Up. What's going on, Mr. Dano?
Hey, nothing. What's up, Tay Real?
Oh man, I'm just hanging out with the crew, just talking about hoarders. Did you have a question or comment about hoarding? I'm sure you probably watched the show.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say hi to everybody. To our two co-hosts, hi to both of you.
Hola,
Mr. Dano.
I know someone. He's an older person, and this person drives his car, and he hoarders in his car.
I told y'all. Didn't I tell y'all it was car hoarders? I told y'all.
And he hoarders in his car. He's an older gentleman, and this person, Kentucky Fried Chicken, buy food from Kentucky Fried Chicken and leave the food in his car. He have garbage bags in his car.
Love those.
He get wheels on wheels, and he get that, and he have that in his car. One day he has me to clean his car out. He had food in his car. He had so much stuff in his car that when he took me and this other person somewhere, we had to sit in the back seat because nobody could sit up front because he had garbage on the front seat. He had garbage in his trunk. And he was something else. And he refused to clean his car out.
Not with all that food. He don't waste food.
I told y'all it's car hoarders. I try to tell y'all.
He would take his hands and wipe his hands on the steering wheel when he got finished.
That's just trife. You gotta wear gloves just to drive his car. Wow. I'm not driving your car if I see food stains on the steering wheel. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, no. I'm not.
Oh, my God.
That's trash.
You worried about the food stains, Tay. He got a pile of trash and food all over.
Right. I'm all of that, man. All of that's a no-go. Sitting in the trash is a no-go. Driving a greasy ketchup stain, hot sauce stain steering wheel is a no-go. All of that stuff is a no-go.
Anytime a man got meals on wheels,
that
one might be. That's
what I'm
saying. That
one's
probably the
lazy. Meals on wheels in your car.
That one's probably the lazy already. Version. Like, you're just like so lazy, you become a hoarder because you just, not because it's mentally you holding on to something, but you just really don't want to clean up after yourself. That's just not cool, man. That's
the leftovers.
And that's how a person he has so much stuff. Nobody can sit in the front seat.
What would y'all do in that situation? And let's say if it's somebody like your grandfather, your grandmother, somebody that you hold close to your heart, and you don't want to make them feel bad, but they come to take you somewhere, and you get in the car, and you see all that pile of trash and old food, like, do you... What do you do?
He'd be like, Grandmama, do you got the drive? I mean, I could drive if we really had to go. I'll drive.
I would just ride in the back seat, and then when we got done what we was doing, I'd say, hey, let me clean your car out for you.
No, I would walk. Screw that.
I'd be like, hey, man, I'll meet you wherever we're going. I'll meet you there.
You gonna tell your grandma you gonna meet her? Where she going?
I will meet you at Walmart. Now, how you gonna get there? I will catch the bus if I got to. I don't care, but I'm not getting in that trash. Get out smelling like a cheese fish sub? No, thank you. No. I had to pass on that.
You gonna say that even if it was like a job interview? You got like 10 minutes to get there.
man. What good is going to go to the job interview smelling like food, smelling like cheese steaks and, you know what I mean? Like, what's that going
to
do?
He's just
like,
tempting you to get in the car.
You got to get in that car.
I mean, if I'm an employer, and I'm interviewing somebody, they come smelling like old food, like, I'm not going to hire them.
What if they smell like new food?
I don't care, man. You got to have your hygiene.
Smell like Kentucky Fried Chicken. You getting hired.
You got to have your hygiene. Or is that discrimination? Because somebody filed discrimination saying because they stank, like you ain't hired them. It's grounds for discrimination.
I think they filed desanitation on you.
You come in showing up like new car tree and Kentucky Fried Chicken mixed together.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Well, it's about that time, Misbehave. It's about that time. Why don't you announce your segment, let them know what it is.
Okay, so it's Just the Facts with Misbehave. Tonight we're talking about hoarding, and I'm going to give you the basics of hoarding. Let's see here. Have you ever said, I've always had trouble throwing things away? Magazines, newspapers, old clothes. What if I need them one day? I don't want to risk throwing something out that might be valuable. The large piles of stuff in our house keep growing, so it's difficult to move around and sit or eat together as a family. My husband is upset and embarrassed, and we get into horrible fights. I'm scared when he threatens to leave me. My children won't invite friends over, and I feel guilty that the clutter makes them cry. But I get so anxious when I try to throw anything away. I don't know what's wrong with me, and I don't know what to do. This example is typical of someone who suffers from hoarding. Read on to learn more. Understanding hoarding. Hoarding is the persistent difficulty discarding or parting with possessions, regardless of their actual value. The behavior usually has a deleterious effects, such as emotional, physical, social, financial, and even legal problems for a hoarder and family members. For those who hoard, the quantity of their collected items sets them apart from other people. Commonly hoarded items may be newspapers, magazines, plastic and paper bags, cardboard boxes, photographs, household supplies, food, and clothing. Hoarding can also be related to compulsive buying, such as never passing up a bargain, the compulsive acquisition of free items, such as collecting flyers, or the compulsive search for perfect or unique items, which may not appear as unique to others, such as an old container. Symptoms and behavior of hoarding. Someone who hoards may exhibit the following: inability to throw away possessions, severe anxiety when attempting to discard items, great difficulty categorizing or organizing possessions, indecision about what to keep or where to put things, distress such as feeling overwhelmed or embarrassed by possessions, suspicion of others touching items. Sorry. Obsessive thoughts and actions, fear of running out of an item or of needing it in the future, checking the trash for accidentally discarded items, functional impairments, including loss of living space, social isolation, family or marital discord, financial difficulties or health hazards. Reasons for hoarding. People hoard because they believe that an item will be useful or valuable in the future, or they feel it has a sentimental value, is unique and irreplaceable, or too big a bargain to throw away. They may also consider an item a reminder that will jog their memory, thinking that without it they won't remember an important person or event, or because they can't decide where something belongs, it's just better to keep it. Hoarding may be present on its own or as a symptom of another disorder. Those most often associated with hoarding are obsessive compulsive personality disorder, attention deficit disorder, and depression. Although less often, hoarding may be associated with an eating disorder called PICA, which means that you're eating non-food materials, Prader-Willi syndrome, which is a genetic disorder, psychosis, or dementia. There's people that eat like paint and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Diminished quality of life. A lack of functional living space is common among hoarders, who may also live in an unhealthy or dangerous condition. Hoarders often live with broken appliances and without heat or other necessary comforts. They cope with malfunctioning systems rather than allow a qualified person into their home to fix a problem. Hoarding causes anger, resentment, and depression among family members, and it can affect the social development of children. Unlivable conditions may lead to separation or divorce, eviction, and even loss of child custody. Hoarding may lead to a serious financial problems as well. Hoarding is not the same as collecting. In general, collectors have a sense of pride about their possessions, and they experience joy in displaying and talking about them. They usually keep their collection organized, feel satisfaction when adding to it, and budget their time and money. Those who hoard usually experience embarrassment about their possessions and feel uncomfortable when others see them. They have clutter, often at the expense of livable space, feel sad or ashamed after acquiring items, and they are often in debt. That is the basics of hoarding.
Yeah, the multiple personality disorder one, I didn't even think about that. So they're relating that also to, like, they saying that can be cause for hoarding too?
No, they didn't say that. They didn't say that. They said obsessive-compulsive disorder, obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and depression.
Right, that's what I was talking about. The I don't know if I said it right, but the person that, what is it called again? The name of the game?
Personality disorder.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
that's
what I was talking
about.
Personality disorder. Mm-hmm.
Right,
and
don't
they also,
make me sound like I don't know what I'm talking about.
You said multiple personality disorder.
I said it wrong, but you know what I meant.
No, I didn't.
Nah, you know, y'all know what I meant, man. Y'all just trying.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, thanks. That's why I'm glad I got another brother up on here with me, man.
Oh, my God.
Trying to
goodness.
Outlaw me.
I'm
trying to make me sound like I'm cool for Cocoa Puffs.
I don't know why they did that right there. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, man, different things can, like, you know.
Yeah, they're linking it to a lot of disorders. They kind of go hand in hand. And I think what they're trying to portray is that people that have these other disorders, it is more likely for them to suffer from hoarding if they have these disorders. They're more commonly found in people that have obsessive-compulsive disorder, obsessive personality disorder, attention deficit disorder, depression. And let's be honest, who the hell doesn't have one of those things in these days and age? So everybody's got depression.
I think 65% of the African American community is bipolar. Are they bipolar? He bipolar, yeah, she bipolar, all right. That's just our answer for everything nowadays. So, yeah, I think everybody's diagnosed with something nowadays.
Yeah. I agree with you, but I think they find, I guess, in people that have hoarding behaviors, they find that a greater incidence of them have also these other disorders as well. You know, but I think it's a sad state of affairs when you have nothing to look forward to but your possessions that are completely hoarded in your home. You know, you're turning your back on real relationships to have relationships with these inanimate objects that are just piling up in your house. A lot of these people lose their family because of these items and because of the state of their house. And I think it's sad. I think they need help. And I think there should be more, psychotherapists and counselors and, you know, things of that nature that specialize in dealing with people with hoarding. Get these people some help, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely, man. I think, like, it's before, like, people, a lot of people will judge the situation but won't try to help, even when it's their own friends and family. I think these people do need help. Like, people, everybody got their own story, and some people have been through a lot, and everybody don't handle things the same, and you got to, you know, be willing to give a helping hand to someone, especially if it's a friend, family, loved one. You know, definitely, you know, it's going to be a hard thing to accept right away when you first see it, but after it sinks in and you embrace it, it's like, all right, the worst is over. I've seen it. I witnessed it. This is what it is now. Now, you're going to just leave that person there, out, hanging out to dry, or you're going to, like, try to do something. At the end of the day, what are you going to be able to say? Did you do anything about it, or did you just sit there and gossip and get on Facebook and post pictures of their house on Facebook and say, this don't make no sense? And, like, are you going to help? Are you going to be part of the problem or the solution? Because if you're not going to try to help them out, you're only part of the problem. You know, you're not going to make them feel bad and rub it in, or you're going to try to help them out. And I think a lot of people, don't really get the big picture on the show Hoarders. It's not for dramatic effect so much. It's like teaching people, like, this stuff is real, and, like, these people need help, and you might have a family member or a friend that's living like this, and these people do need help. They need your help, you know. Give a helping hand if you can.
They really do. Like, for instance, this lady that lives in my neighborhood, nobody knew that she was a hoarder, and she didn't have any family visit her or nothing like that. And she lived alone. She had cats, and she would feed those stray cats and everything. And somebody upstairs that lived above her in the apartment started smelling something. Like, they said it smelled like death, like somebody had died. So finally, they kept knocking on the door to see if she would answer. Finally, they went in, and she was dead. Like, she was literally, and nobody knew, like, how long she was in there dead. And she had all this piles of stuff. And even in her car, she was hoarding stuff in her car, like trash and all types of stuff. Like, she was really bad, but nobody knew. And she was just laid up in there dead, and they really don't even know what the whole cause of it was. And she was just in a whole pile of stuff. So it could have been the odor. It could have been from all the feces, because she had dead cats in there. Oh, whole bunch of stuff, but nobody knew because nobody would check up on her.
It's a lonely life that they lead. A lot of times, it's a very lonely life.
It is.
Nizzy Nay, I need you to cut your speakers off. We can hear the echo when you talk.
Really?
Yeah, I can hear the echo. Need you to mute your speakers. But yeah, that was definitely a good point. Good point, Nizzy Nay. And that's just crazy. When you got somebody in your own neighborhood and you see that, it's like, that's when it kind of sinks in, like, wow, this ain't just TV. Like, this is, I mean, because you can even hoard outside. Like, that's still hoarding. This could, like, even, like, you know, you see a lot of episodes where people are like, all right, I'm just going to move all this stuff out of my house, and then they have it in there. Some of these people have huge, like, acres of land, and, like, they'll just put it in their yard. Like, the one lady bought a tent, and inside that tent she just had everything that was in her kitchen in the tent now. And I'm like, this is outside now. There's no, like, wooden door or nothing. It's just, like, plastic that anything can crawl right up under, right through. Any animal can walk right in or crawl. Anything can just come up in there and just live up and make a home, turn the house into a happy home. Rats, cats, mice, dogs, anything. And I was like, wow, this was her answer. And her family had to actually talk to her and try to, you know, talk some sense into her and get her to, like, really get rid of the stuff and not just put it in a tent. Okay, I'm hearing the echo again.
I hear you echoing.
Yeah,
I hear
you
myself
echoing
too.
Everybody echoing now. Is anybody
listening? What is going on?
Is anybody listening online? Like anybody near their computer and got their speakers on?
Nope.
One of y'all, 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 one
hear you echoing.
If you can't hear it, then it's probably you.
Well, I mean, with that said, y'all, I mean, this is definitely, I enjoy talking about this because it's definitely different, but it's something that's very relevant and that is definitely an issue. It's not just on the show Hoarders. Like, a lot of you have brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, nieces, nephews, cousins, best friends, or your significant other have people that are hoarders, and you either know it and you just kind of just like brush it off, or you might know it, but you know, you might want to start paying attention, you right. know, because it is an issue, and it can become a whole factor, you know, definitely. You just can't live that way. Like, that's not a way to live. Is that, like, the one lady had mold all in her house, and, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, you just can't live like that, man. It's just, especially no. if you got kids in the house, you can't live like that, man. Just can't do it, man. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people that are, like, compulsive hoarders probably died from, like, having stuff fall on them or got severely injured.
Oh, yeah. Or if they have a fire or something at their house, nobody can get in to save them.
Exactly, and you just caved in. Can't even make it out, because exactly anything can happen, man. What if what is that called? I can't think of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They call it the silent killer.
Oh, carbon monoxide.
Yeah, carbon. You ain't gonna really predict that coming anyway, right? But they got the little detectors that can let you know. Some people's alarms let them know. Something like that goes off, the alarm goes off, and it's like, you need to get out the house, and you can't. You're stuck in, especially if, like, you're a person that don't walk well, need a cane, and, you know, anything can happen. It's an emergency. You need to get out the house, and you can't. Yeah.
Yeah, you're stuck.
Exactly. So my advice, I always like to close giving advice. My advice would definitely just be for people to, you know, just if you know someone that's doing it, like I was saying, try to definitely help them. Don't be so judgmental about it. I mean, like, yeah, I ain't gonna lie, it is kind of funny sometimes. It's kind of funny sometimes. But, I mean, like, well, you can laugh, but after you laugh and you get it off your chest, like, then you want to, you know, lend a hand. You want to try to help as best as you can if you know someone who is personally going through it. And if you're the actual hoarder, the first solution to the problem is admitting you have a problem. You know, so that's the first step. You got to admit that you have a problem first. Understand that you are living in a mountain of trash. You're living in a dump. You can't even get to your own bed. You got to climb mountains just to get to your dining room. This is a serious problem. You need to admit that you have a problem, and then work on it. And, you know, just work on it. Just really understand this is a problem that you have to conquer, and you don't have to do it alone. If you have people that really care about you, don't be so embarrassed. Like, go ahead and reach out to those people, let them know. And someone will, if you really have people that care about you, someone will be willing to help. But even if you don't, sometimes you just gotta do your own thing. But regardless, you need to overcome that, and it starts with admitting that you have a problem.
True.
That's fine.
Yep. I would just say I agree with Tay said. You know, some people can't admit that they have a problem. Because if you watch the shows, they really can't admit it. Somebody has to literally interfere. It's an addiction. They got to interfere. And if you have a family member that has a serious problem, then you need to get them help. Get anybody and everybody, just like they have on the show, to help them mentally and physically, because you're going to need everybody. Because they're going to have their little breakdowns, and they're not going to want to throw away everything. And you can't sit there and yell at them and judge them. Even if you see poop and pee all over the floor, just understand that's just natural. That's just not how
that.
They really are. That's not. It's the disease. It's a disease, and you just gotta try to understand. You know, don't be judgmental and get them help, because it's a serious problem. People lose kids over it. They definitely need to get help.
Man, that's my only problem is I have to try to change my aspect of looking at it. Because to me, yes, I can see it being a problem, but I don't see it being something that, you know, you can't kind of control. Like, it's not something that you were that's genetically placed in your system that I'm a hoarder from birth. Nah, you grew into this. It's something that you learned or something that you just can't let go of. And you do need somebody that is, you know, going to be that person that's going to be on you, that's going to tell you to do this and do that. But at the same time, you have to have that mental aspect to listen. And if you have that mental aspect to listen, you should have the mental capacity to not, you know, keeping stuff that you don't need. Clean up your mess, you know what I mean? Stop pissing and shitting in bags. Take them to the trash can. You should be able to do something like that. You know, get the toilet fixed. Do whatever you got to do, because, I mean, it's hard for me to help somebody who won't help themselves. And I don't know if I'm wrong for that, but it's just my mental capacity won't let me wrap around this. If I'm trying to help you, still won't help yourself, I got to go home with my life.
But sometimes it takes more than one try. Some people, they're just stubborn. And that's right. when you gotta physically get somebody that knows what they're doing and get them to come in, because you just can't do it yourself. They're not going to just listen to you and then go ahead and clean up. They need serious help. And that's something beyond from what you can do. You know, it's a disease. So they're not going to sit down, they're not going to sit there and listen to you and say, hey, let's clean this up. They're not going to do that. They're just not. It's a disease.
Like,
do you
believe it's a disease, or is it a habit?
What did you say?
Would you say it's a real disease, or would you say it's a habit?
It's a disease.
I agree.
Yeah, I got to agree, too. I think it's a mental disease. I think there's a such thing as mental diseases, and that's one of them, in my opinion.
Like,
it's
if I look
really
at, you know, if you got an eating problem, like, you got an eating problem, that's more of a disease to me than you won't throw stuff away.
I think it's really closely related, though.
It really is.
A lot of times people have eating problems, it ain't always because they're hungry. That's a whole nother show, though. It's all related, I think. That's a very great comparison.
We could
actually definitely
do a show on that eating disorder. We never did a show on that. I'm just saying.
I think we got about five new shows that we can do based off of this one conversation alone. All types of stuff. But before we close out, Ms. Behave, you have any words of advice or encouragement for hoarders or family members or friends of hoarders?
I would just say, you know, stick together. You know, stick it out. Whether you are the hoarder or you have a family who is a hoarder, you know, try to realize that it's not them. you know, it's the disease. And remember what it was like before. And remember that it can be that way again. Just stick it out.
No doubt. Definitely, man. Definitely. Just make sure if you're a family member or friend of that person, you know, you just want to root for them. You know, you don't want to just criticize them. You want to be rooting for them. You want to be, you know, you want to help them as best as you can. And with that said, before we close out, I want to give a shout out to all the artists whose songs are still in our March rotation. So we had Stop by J. Caddy featuring VST, Strategist, and Dread Boy. We had Getaway by The Kid featuring Two Tone and Wordplay. We had Turn Up by Mr. Sinister. And we had State of Emergency by Mark II. You can catch all these guys on Facebook, SoundCloud. Just Google them. You can find all these guys that are dope MCs, and shout out to them, you know, for having dope music and, you know, allowing us to play their songs in rotation. And with that said, we will see you guys next Monday on It's Real Talk Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are your hosts. I am Tay Real.
I am Nizzy Nay.
Your girl, Mr. Hayes.
And the baby, Sarge.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.